And we are live. Welcome. Thank you, everybody, for listening. It is the Highfalutin Ski Bump Podcast, episode number 71. It is Thanksgiving week. We are back doing it the Google Hangout style. It is your pals, Mario and Brian. Mario, what's going on?
I am thankful for a lot of things, especially the fact that there's snow falling, even on in the east.
Oh, yes, there is. I think there's more snow that has fallen in the east this November than all of last ski season. So good things are happening here.
Pretty fun time. We have a special guest right out of Clearwater High School. My nephew, James, is joining us today.
Hello.
Ooh, that was a nice echo action going on there.
Nice echo. He's got such a projectile voice that it echoes.
I like it. So yeah, James, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Mario, you're down there with James in lovely Florida.
Yeah. I figured he'd like to be on the podcast. I actually saw he was in a high school play the other day, and I saw it. He was actually had one of the lead roles. I was like, wow, I didn't really know he was doing that. It was very impressive.
Very cool.
Had no problem standing up in front of people and doing his thing. It was pretty good.
Excellent. What play was it?
It was The Crucible by Arthur Miller.
Oh.
Crucible.
Nice.
Very cool play. I thought they did a good production, and I was very impressed.
Were you David Crucible?
David Crucible. It's kind of like, Jason Bourne. Jason Crucible, he was like, running around, like killing people.
That's what I thought. I mean, I'm not familiar with all of Arthur Miller's work, but I believe that's what The Crucible was about.
See, James, you could tell Brian it's about anything. He would not know the difference.
I'm one of the dumbest humans alive.
So it all starts with this time machine. This guy makes out of a DeLorean.
Oh.
I knew it had something to do with the DeLorean.
Go on.
I watched it.
And then they like go into space and the moon is now a spaceship, and they have to blow it up.
I'm freaking out, man.
Yeah.
I'm freaking out. I need a little bean of the week or something, man.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves quite yet. We'll get there. So thank you, guys. Really appreciate you listening, checking us out. We've had a bunch of emails from fans lately, and it's really cool getting that, and we really do appreciate it. So please continue to, let us know you're listening and send us some love. We appreciate it. So hit us up, skibumpodcast@gmail.com. The website, of course, skibumpodcast.com. If anyone was on there on either Sunday or Monday, I accidentally left up the prototype version that I was testing and have now gone back to the old version. But the new version will be coming out in the next few weeks. I'm super excited about it. I think it looks really cool. I gave Mario a sneak peek last week. It's going to be totally different. Totally modern, really cool. So we're super excited about that. So check that out. We'll definitely send out more shots and tweets and messages as soon as we get it live. So also please subscribe to the podcast, Stitcher, iTunes, however you do it. Rate us, please. Send love to your friends. Let them know about us. Especially with ski season coming up, everyone's traveling. They need something to occupy their time during the drives, the bus rides, the flights. Send them the podcast. We think they'll dig it. And also definitely on social media, hit us up, facebook.com/skibumpodcast, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, instagram.com/skibumpodcast. And we're also on Pinterest as the Highfalutins.
And Brian, who's our super fan of the week? What was his name, Cameron?
Cameron, yes, he sent us some good tips that we'll be getting into a little bit later on.
Yeah, thank
you
very much
for reaching out. But first,
oh yeah, you know what time it is?
Oh yeah, it is time for the upgrade today. So Mario, kick it off. What do you got?
All right, so today I'm down in Tampa, so why not go for one of the? It's actually on one of the top IPA rankings, the Cigar City Brewery, the High Lie, the IPA. Excellent beer, has a very IPA, has the great, very hoppy taste, but has a little bit of tangerine citrus in there. Very nice tasting. I like it. It's a win-win. It's a home run right there.
Yeah, that is a very tasty beer. So this week, I have a friend of mine got a couple of these beers a few weeks ago for me, and I know we had one on the podcast a couple weeks back. But this one is a little bit different. This is from Other Half Brewing out in Brooklyn. And this one is their Short, Dark, and Handsome Stout. And I'm not a huge stout guy, but this time of year, they hit the spot. So it's, you know, very rich, deep, a little bit bitter, dark coffee flavor. But right now, it's with Thanksgiving rolling around, it's the perfect time to be drinking it. So
you're like a little teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle. Here is my dark and handsome spout.
There you go.
James, what are you partaking in today?
I have myself a lovely can of Seagram's Ginger Ale straight out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Straight out of Atlanta.
That's a good vintage this year, I believe.
Yes, it has a very nice light gingery taste. And I totally didn't just read that off of the can.
Very effervescent.
Oh, yes, you might say so.
If you will.
All right. That was pretty good.
All right.
Next up.
Yes, it's a favorite new segment on the show. It is Frank's Bean of the Week.
Frank and Beans.
So, Frank, thanks again for sending out your pick this week. And seeing as it is Thanksgiving, you know, we're starting to have a little celebratory meals and desserts. So how about the Bean of the Week being lemon pie? Lemon pie is from Leafs by Snoop, a sativa dominant hybrid that will bring about relaxation and creativity. It carries hints of citrus, spice, and diesel flavor in dense orange-haired buds. Testing over 22% in THC, this powerful strain will have you out and about doing your favorite indoor or outdoor activities.
22%. I think I would be sitting in that coffee shop going, dude, did it hit you again?
Yeah, that seems like it's one that I could take you to a special place. So thanks again, Frank. We're planning our trip. It's only 3 weeks away out to Whistler. So we're going to have to do some actual real-time reviews of some of the beans and give our Bean of the Year perhaps in a couple weeks.
Bean of Ski Week Bean.
Ski Week Bean. I think Bean of the Year too.
Bean of the Year. We'll have to give the our own version of the cup.
Ooh. The Highfalutin Cup.
Highfalutin Cup.
I like it.
We've talked about Highfalutin Cup now. This is the second week. We're going to have to come up with some kind of cup and have a reason for giving it. Let's put it that way.
I actually have a ceramic sort of Stanley Cup that I made in high school.
Awesome.
Like using the wheel.
I think that should be it.
It was kind of my pride and joy. I was really proud of it, and it's pretty awesome. And I really wish I would have kept up with my ceramicking because I feel like I might have missed my calling.
You can always go back. You get your own kiln.
Oh, well, the wheel. That's the best.
You're going to live on a little farm, and you'll be hanging out, like spinning your own yarn from your own goats, right?
From my own body hair, making sweaters.
Body hair, making sweaters. Chilling out.
Imagine having a whole collection of body hair clothing.
Body hair clothing. I wonder if that's really warm.
It's artisan.
Artisan.
You can jack up the prices.
Yeah, it's artisanal clothing. And think about it, you know. Perfect. Now, not to be crude or anything, James, cover your ears. A lot of the ladies, as they get past 18, they want to remove hair in certain places. What
that
do they
would
do
have
with all that hair?
You'd
that's what
that.
I want to know.
You'd see that on the Rob Report. Let's put it that way.
Why can't it be used for making some sort of textiles? That's all. I think there's a market there.
Have a toque made out of it or something. That'd be great.
Why not?
Why not?
Waste less.
It's produced. It's already, you know, being produced. Why not?
It's organic, fair trade.
Fair trade. That's right.
No animals were harmed in the process.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
All right, so before we get into the ski news, we have a couple of quick follow-ups from the last podcast. So the last podcast we did it right before UFC 205. And if you didn't see it, you probably – spoiler alerts are coming, but you should definitely check it out. It was probably the UFC's best night ever. I mean, the fights were incredible. Conor McGregor, he backed up all of his shit-talking that he's been doing.
That was a great fight.
Oh, that fight, the Weidman Yoel Romero was one of the most brutal endings I've seen. I felt really bad for Weidman, man. I mean, it was his hometown, you know? He's a New York guy. And just going out, just half your brain leaking out of your head. That's a
I was talking to my brother-in-law about that. He saw the replay, and I was just like, I've never seen a four combination, a four punch combo. It was great.
Just that knee though. I mean, he came with so much force. He actually hit him in the head, then flipped over him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was brutal. So yeah, if you haven't had the chance to check it out yet, you know, find a source. Fantastic fights. Even if you know the results, they were still. It was an amazing night of fights. So that was great. And then obviously Dave Chappelle on SNL. You know, we always talk about Chappelle show, probably one of the best sketch comedy shows ever created. Still timely, still relevant, still fantastic. He did an awesome job on SNL. His monologue was more of like a stand-up set, which was great. And then, you know, the sketches are always kind of hit and miss, but he had one where he had a bunch of his old Chappelle show characters, which was fun to see. So,
yeah, that was pretty cool.
Again, if you haven't checked that out, definitely get out there. Definitely, absolutely watch the monologue stand-up part. That was the best.
But yeah, it's out there free. I mean, NBC puts it out there. It's out there. You just watch it for free.
Yeah, so I think it was about 10 minutes. It was pretty long, but it was really well done.
Yeah, it was very good.
So shout out to Dave Chappelle.
You good?
We know you're a fan. All right. So, Mario, let's kick it off with the ski news.
Kicking off. Got the ski news now.
Kind of hear the music, but kind of don't.
Kind of don't? You kind of hear
don't.
God damn it. It's going to make me deaf.
There we go.
What are you saying? What? What? Yeah.
All right. So, ski news. So, it's coming up on Thanksgiving. Now it's starting to really get into ski season. I always tell everybody I work with, I'm like, Thanksgiving is my Memorial Day because our time of year has finally hit. So right now, 20 plus ski resorts are going to be opening for this weekend. And we'll give you a quick little rundown. Killington, Vermont, Mammoth Mountain, California, Boreal, California, Mount Rose, Nevada, Timberline Lodge, Oregon. These are all in Colorado. Copper, A-Basin, Breckenridge, Keystone, Loveland, Purgatory, Eldora, Crested Butte, Arizona Snowball in Arizona, Cipapoo in New Mexico, Wild Mountain, Minnesota, Cataloochee, North Carolina,
woo-woo.
Sugar Mountain, North Carolina. Those are your old stomping grounds, aren't they?
Cataloochee, Sugar Mountain, yeah. Used to live right there, by Boone.
Sunshine Village, Canada, Lake Louise, Canada, Nikiska, Canada, Stowe, Vermont, Mount Snow, Vermont, Sugarbush, Vermont, Okemo, Vermont, and Sunday River, Maine. So East Coast over here, we've been getting a nice little coverage of snow the past couple of days. And leading into the second story, which I'll just go right into since I'm already rambling about it, Killington's World Cup coming up this weekend. And, you know, things were looking good back in October. And then things warmed up, and things were looking a little bit dicey. Because we all remember last year. We're gonna be talking about the 2015-2016 ski season for decades, about how terrible it was in the Northeast.
Yeah.
But this past week, it has cooled down, and they've got about 15 inches of snow over the past few days. So FIS has given them the green light, thumbs up. The event is happening. Everybody is super excited. A bunch of other places are opening up in Vermont, and it looks like it's going to be a fantastic Thanksgiving ski weekend in the Green Mountain State.
Yeah, so the best part of it is they gave them the green light last week, and then this week they get a little bit over 15 inches of snow. So you couldn't have gotten luckier because they showed the picture last week, and it was just Superstar had a ton of snow on it, which is, if anybody knows Killington, they just blow about two stories of snow on that one top part and middle part, and then they just, you know, cat it all out. So they did that, and you know, Superstar looked fine. They said great, it's going to be great for the event, but everything around it was just all no snow at all. It was just, you know, brown. And to get this much snow, it's going to look like a winter wonderland. People are going to look on TV and say, that's a great snowy place, let's go to Killington. So
yeah, this was huge for them. They really needed this, so it's great to see. Yeah, like you were mentioning, they were pretty much pushing all the snow off of everything, off of Skylark and everything right nearby. to get yeah. onto Superstar. So
it's gonna be great. Like most of the mountains gonna be open now, so you can actually get a good day skiing in.
They're still saying only 11 trails are open, which is kind of weird. I don't know.
It'd be like rhyme and reason. Like rhyme and reason, probably Superstar.
Yeah, they're saying all the ones up top. The North Ridge area, but they said they're planning on closing the walkway that you usually have to take because you can't ski all the way down.
Right.
So, but again, this is today's report. I don't know what they're gonna. But then they could be just focusing on the race, you know, getting everything, you know, all their attention on Superstar in that area for the FIS race, and then you know opening everything up. I believe it's Friday and Saturday.
Friday, Saturday. I mean, we're talking, 3 days away, so.
26 and 27. So Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday, Sunday. So, yeah, I mean, if they have enough snow, they'll start blowing all over the rest of the mountain.
Hopefully they won't have to do that. They'll just get real snow doing the work for them.
Yeah, fresh snow.
Yeah, it's Saturday and Sunday. So probably Friday's a training day, I would guess.
Training day.
Yeah.
Although Lindsey Vonn's not going to be there. Sorry, Lindsey.
Aw. That really sucks for all the businesses, you know, that, 'cause I'm sure, you know, she's probably the biggest draw that, you know, in the
area. I wonder if she'll still be up there.
I doubt it. I'm sure she's rehabbing somewhere awesome. Not that Killington is awesome. But, you know, she was on I forget what show she was on. I think maybe it was the Colbert Show. She was talking about how she doesn't like the snow, doesn't like the cold.
Yeah, that's pretty
funny. Professional skier and you don't like the cold?
That's what happens.
She's getting all Hollywood on us, you know?
That's what happens.
She's getting all Hollywood.
Let's see. She has a picture on her Twitter of, like, her and all a bunch of her friends, like, all sitting on a couch all cozy. I wish I was on that couch.
It's not how you win races.
Just saying. Just saying.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's, you know, she could still work out her legs, right? It's still in good shape.
Oh, look at that couch picture. Oh, that is adorable.
It is adorable.
Yeah.
I'm coming in, everybody. Just make room. Move aside. I'm coming in. All right.
All right. You want to grab the next one?
Why don't you grab the next? You looked at some of these from everybody, Cameron.
Yes. So, Cameron, thank you again for writing to us. So, you know, we talked about ski movies a few weeks back. And, you know, where you could find them. And Cameron gave us this cool website, voodoo.com, VUDU.com. And they're owned by Walmart. And I know some smart TVs has it built in as like an on-demand system. Kind of like you'd have if you had an Apple TV, you know, like the Apple iTunes store is your default if you want to buy a movie. There's a Voodoo channel or app on certain TVs, and they have a website you can go to as well, and they have a lot of like old Warren Miller movies, some TGR movies, and you know, just a bunch of other good ski movies. So if you want to, some are free. Yeah, so if you want to, you know, try checking that out, check out voodoo.com and do a search for ski or snowboard winter, and you can find some great ski movies on the cheap.
They have some, I guess it's free because they put some ads in there. But so you fast forward to the ads or just, you know, let it run or whatever.
Go and get a drink.
They have one called Ski People. I think I got to see that. It's Warren Miller, but I don't think I've seen that one.
Ski People?
Ski People.
I think I remember seeing that on the thing, yeah. Free with ads.
There's Après Ski the Series, 2014.
1980.
That's wow. Après Ski is the British Columbia reality show. That's out there.
That one they filmed Whistler, right?
Yeah, that's the Whistler one. And it's a 2014 Après Ski is what it's called. I remember we talked about that a long time ago, but yeah, it's out there.
Yeah, it takes place in Whistler.
We should probably watch that before we got.
I don't think we're going to want to go if we do watch it.
Who knows? You never know.
Maybe. Yeah, well, check it out. So thanks again, Cameron. We really appreciate you writing in and giving us that tip. We are definitely checking it out.
Definitely checking it. All right, so next up we got ski hockey and big crazy lines dominate top videos of the week from Free Skier. So they put out a whole bunch of different videos, and I know Brian was really keen on one, so I'll let him talk about that. But James and I were watching some of these for the podcast, and they are pretty awesome.
Yeah, I saw that Free Skier had tweeted that out a few weeks ago, maybe a week ago. And, you know, I'm a big hockey fan. I still play. And seeing skiing and hockey together was a thing of beauty. They did a pretty funny job combining skiing and hockey and having a little on the snow fight scene there.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I love the whole video, the way it sets up. They said, "Oh, you guys are too American to ski in Canada."
Yeah, so guys like skiing with a hockey stick, a Canada jersey, a goalie mask.
That may happen to us when we go up to Whistler. We'll see. We're going to have to get more canidified.
We're not saying it's not going to happen. Let's just put it that way.
Well, you know, if they have the wall up by then, we might not be able to get in.
Oh, it's true. That was the that's the joke, right? They're gonna build the wall to keep us out.
Exactly. But all right, so it's cool. And some of the other ones are pretty cool. I mean, they were getting some crazy fresh powder on those, man. It looks so awesome. I'm so psyched to get some real fresh powder at the beginning of the season. That's unheard of.
We're gonna find some.
I've been working out trying to get I've been killing myself at the gym trying to get my legs in shape. Walking around the store every day, just been doing squats and stuff. It's crazy.
It's the way to do it.
Got to get that, you know, first week of pain out of the way before we go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've talked about working out plenty of times, things you should be doing. I'm trying to stick to it. And you know what I've noticed? That one leg press exercise that we mentioned where
– single leg?
Yeah, you kind of go – you use one leg when you're going down and push off with two. On the leg press machine.
I've been doing those.
Oh, I've been doing that. The first week they were so hard, and now they're. I can feel them getting easier after like a month.
Dude, so, that's why I'm in pain this week.
I just had to stand up because it's been hurting to sit down this much. Because, yeah, like I same thing. I did my squats yesterday, my jump lunges, those leg presses, and plus the biking in the wind.
Nice.
Which is a. All I could think about was this is toughening me up for skiing.
Uphill both ways?
Uphill both ways. In the wind both ways.
In the wind both ways. That's crazy.
Yeah. Headwind.
It's amazing. It's a freak of nature, but it happens.
I'm telling you.
All right.
That about wraps up the ski news for the week.
That's all the ski news I think I have in me right now. This is snow everywhere, so it's a good time. I think we're going to start – we'll start picking out different events that happen. But I don't know about you, but I'm a little too excited about Whistler right now.
I'm very excited because we will be there in 3 weeks. Doing the math today. 3 weeks.
I was trying to take care of work because I'm like, I got a lot of stuff to do before I go.
I know, right?
But I'm not thinking about it that way. We'll see. It's all good.
And that leads us to our main topic for the week.
All right, what are we talking about, Brian?
Well, it is Thanksgiving week, so it's Thanksgiving week too.
Oh, let's all have a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Hank skiing. That is not how it works. It's happy thanks skiing. Again, I'm getting so giddy just talking about snow and the where it's dumping in our resorts that we're going to. It's just it's tough to concentrate. So.
All right, why don't you lead us out, Brian?
I can't. You got to start.
All right. So cruising around the internet, you know, I think this week we were trying to put together the show. We're like, you know, Thanksgiving, we'll talk about, like, you know, cool stuff we found online for purchase and just, you know, stuff that's going on. But one of the things I did find, if you're looking for a nice wine for Thanksgiving or for a gift, why not take this Penfold Grange – which is a very rare wine that's going to go on auction. Why not pick up a bottle of that for your friend or for yourself to, you know, to down?
Why just one?
So what this is Penfolds is a very famous winery in Australia. I think they're famous for Shiraz, but they make some fantastic wines. I've had a few of them before. And they make this one run. It's called Penfold Grange. And it's a very rare vintage that they make every year. So they don't mass produce it. And it's never actually been released to the public. It's always something they've kept in the family that they covet and that they have for their friends and people that know them. It's just it's very rare and very good, supposedly. So they're for the first time this year, they're going to start this year and ongoing. They're going to offer a handful of 6-liter bottles of the Grange each year. So 6-liter bottle, that's like the Magnum. It's the giant bottle. But I imagine people are going to buy it and then, you know, split it up into separate bottles or whatever. Sometimes they do that. But it looks phenomenal. They actually have, in order to get this, it's going to be offered for sale. They're going to they're going to price it at something pretty astronomical. And right now they're saying it's going to be about $140,000 each. So
that seems like a great deal to me.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're getting one of these, you probably, you know, went to Australia on your, you know, $250,000 yacht and you figure you're just going to buy, you know, $140,000 bottle of wine. Maybe you're going to fly back on your plane. Maybe have your plane meet your boat out there. I mean, I don't know. There's going to be some crazy stuff going on. You know, you have gold toilets going on here. There's going to be a lot of highfalutin stuff going on, which I'm very interested in.
It's possible your yacht folds into a plane. If you can afford a $140,000 bottle of wine,
you can have a yacht with a runway that just folds out, and then you can land and take off the plane from there. Instead of who needs a helicopter? Screw that. You got a plane. Got a G5, son.
$140,000 for a bottle of wine.
$140,000. Now, you're going to get a little, you know, the way they present this. The photo of it looks pretty amazing. They got this beautiful bottle, gigantic bottle, and they put it in a 6-liter decanter. So they're going to pair it with that, and they're going to give it to you as part of the experience.
Yeah, the decanter is pretty amazing looking in its own right. It's like a piece of art almost.
Yeah. You know, that's going to be the one thing. Like, they got Grange. It's going to be like a run. It's going to be like Katrina. I got to give me some Grange.
You know what you could do? You could just buy the empty bottle and just put some $3 chuck in there.
Damn.
And I guarantee you, you pour that out for people, and they'd be like, oh my God, this is the best wine I've ever had. As long as you have it in that fancy bottle. I wonder if AliExpress is going to have like a bootleg version.
Oh, they probably will.
Right?
They actually said they're going to release a more accessible, collectible set consisting of a 750-milliliter bottle of Grange. So you get the Grange, and a bespoke St. Louis decanter that holds the equivalent volume of wine, and there's only going to be 240 of these smaller limited editions, and they're going to be priced at $2,000 each. So
$2,000, Jesus, I can make friggin' gravy with that then.
That's exactly. You know, have half of it, pour the other half out.
Make glühwein with that.
Glühwein. Oh, we got to make glühwein.
We do. We got snow now, so we're allowed to make it.
We're allowed to make it. You're going to make the glühwein. I'm going to make the Jaeger tea. We'll be all good.
Sounds good.
All right,
anything else regarding
Lagrange? No, Lagrange is c'est bon. I liked it.
All right, well, the next one is your story as well, since you experienced it.
So, you know, one of the things I do down in Tampa is I visit family and I just see what's going on. And while I was down here, I was telling my nephew, James, about, you know, the podcast and what we do, and he mentioned to me, he's like, there's a ski shop down here called Bill Jackson's Shop for Adventure that he goes to for camping gear, and he's like, they have a ski it's like almost like a ski run, like a ski ramp that people ski on. I'm like, get out of here. So we went over to it, and it's one of these gigantic outdoor places. They got a legit ski shop, a ton of stuff. And they have a ramp where they actually teach skiing here in Tampa. And there are some very large ski clubs that are down here that actually are, you know, go there for their gear and are affiliated with them. So it was pretty surprising and pretty amazing to see. It's actually just outside of Tampa, technically, in Pinellas Park?
Pinellas Park, that's right.
Yeah. So it's actually Pinellas Park is like an island or something like that, right?
It's not an island. It's just when you come out of the Tampa Bay, there's sort of a peninsula where Clearwater's on. Pinellas Park is closer to St. Petersburg.
Right. All I know is you go over like a bunch of bridges and then you get there and you're like, wow, this is kind of still Tampa, but it's not. So it was pretty cool. And when you get on there, it's like you're driving through like a safari. There's all these trees, palm trees, and it's not like a regular road. You're like, I think I'm going off-road. Like, I don't know where I am. So it's pretty neat to go to the place. And then they had legit gear. I was like, I told Brian there was some Shredators for, you know, 131 underfoot for about $350. I was like, I had to justify why not to get them. Let's put it that way. Because I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of snow this year.
Yeah, that's some serious ski there.
Yeah, and they were my size too. I think they would have been just perfect. Everything was fine in the right dimensions there. I don't know.
You can still go back, right?
I'm here for another week, so.
Black Friday sale.
That's right. Black Friday doorbuster over at the adventure store. So that store was pretty cool. It was legit.
So it actually cut out for a couple seconds. So did you make it onto the ramp?
No, they didn't have the ramp going. It's only for had I dropped that fact that I'm high-flying ski bone, they would have been like, yeah, you know, we could open up the ramp for you. But they open it up and they do lessons. So you go there like every week and you take lessons.
It's basically like a giant ski treadmill made of carpet.
Yeah.
Have you tried it, James?
I have not. I am not a skier myself. However, I thought it would be a cool opportunity that my uncle got to see what kind of stuff we had available down here.
He's not a skier yet.
Yet.
Not yet, but I was not aware that my uncle was part of High Flute and Ski Bombs, so.
He's heard of it all over the radio and the news, but he's never, you know, he didn't know who we are, which we do that on purpose. Keep it incognito.
It's like finding out your uncle is Batman, isn't it?
It's possible.
It's kind of like that.
It's about the same thing, I think.
Pretty close.
But I got like two more uncles. Who knows what will happen?
That's right. Spider-Man and the Hulk.
You guys like the Avengers.
That's right. You never know, you know. That's why we, you know, we apparently, you know, don't get together for Christmas. But, you know, Thanksgiving we all get together, eat some turkey. But Christmas we get together, but we're all superhero selves, you know.
And you can all do it skiing now on the carpet.
Exactly. Well, I figure if he's going to come up and visit, he's going to have to, you know, go on the treadmill and learn how to get the basics of turning and skiing, and then he can come on up and jump right in.
Yeah, I think the most important thing, though, is not to let Rem teach him anything.
So, James, our buddy Rem takes his friend out, and we're out at Mount Snow, and he takes his friend up there. And
it was his first time skiing.
His first time skiing. He got all his gear, his skis, everything, you know. Bought everything, and he gets up there and he takes a lesson, and then Rem's like, let's go up to the top of the mountain, and we're like, no, I wouldn't do that.
After what, like an hour of a lesson or something?
Oh yeah, it was like an hour.
Took him to the top of the mountain after.
And then Brian and I are like, well, you took him up here, we're out, we're going. And then we see Rem coming after, and he's like, oh, I left him up there, he said he wanted to lay there for a while. And then we see him coming down on a sled. So the ski patrol brought him down on the sled because he couldn't get down. It was pretty bad.
Well, the worst thing was there was all three of us are trying to teach him what to do. We're all telling him different things.
At the same time.
And he's just like, you know what? I'm just going to figure it out on my own. And he actually like hyperextended his knee, I believe, and got the ski patrol to take him down on a sled. So.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Now he's doing triathlons, apparently, or something like that.
He was a good guy.
Yeah, good cook.
He'd rather stay on level ground.
Yes. Yeah, that's where he belongs, you know. Well, if nothing else, Rem taught him that lesson.
And this is how we learn.
This is how we learn.
He was a chef, so it was great to have him around the ski house, because all he wanted to do is, after that experience, is he just wanted to stay around and cook. So we're like, thanks, man.
Well, also, too, I think part of the reason was that the ladies of the house, they weren't skiers. So he's like, oh, well, if I cook, I can hang out with them all day.
Exactly.
And we can go looking for saffron, in quotes,
that's right.
for 4 hours.
That's what they did. I'm sure there's stories. I'm sure there's stories on that.
Saffron was not found. That's all.
No. Went for saffron. We're going 4 hours. Didn't find a stitch of saffron.
Yada yada yada.
I thought there was a bunch right around the corner.
Surprisingly, central Vermont, not a big hotbed for saffron.
It's like they went out for Bud Light. They couldn't find any Bud Light at all.
Not a single PBR was to be had in the whole town.
Are you sure? A ski town with no PBR? None at all.
Blasphemous. Or Deer Valley.
That's right.
All right. So thanks, guys, for that info about the ski shop in Tampa. That's pretty cool.
That was pretty, it's surprising. You can find stuff like that everywhere, right?
Yeah, so now we got this. I don't know if you found this one, this the Battle Box.
This is James's baby.
Oh, James. You want to talk about it?
Sure. This is something that I found a little while ago. It's a website online called Battle Box, and they do this thing where you can go online to their website and get a subscription to their product, or you can just buy it individually.
And no, it's Battle without the E, so B-A-T-T-L-B-O-X.
Yeah, I was kind of weirded out by the spelling, but...
It's badass. Valves are for pussies.
Oh, yeah. Notice A is spelled like... It doesn't have the middle line, and
exactly.
The O is shaped like a Spartan helmet.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Battle Box.
Make them cool somehow.
It's kind of like a New Jersey spelling, Battle Box.
It's like Boston more.
Boston.
Battle Box. Bastard bags.
You bastards. You dirty bastards, here's the Battle Box.
But basically what it is that is you can get a subscription or you can buy them individually. And what it is it's a box. You order it online, you get it in the mail, and it's a different theme every month that they do for the box. And in the box, depending on what theme you get, it has a bunch of camping or survival gear inside of it. And it's really cool because they have different themes based on different survival situations or just situations you might find yourself in as a camper. And there's some really useful gear in here, especially if you're like just getting started with some of this stuff. So I have one pulled up here right now, which is winter vehicle preparation. And the way they do this most of the time is they have it based in tiers. So they have the first tier, which is the basic box, which is the cheapest, of course. It's only $25, and it comes with six pretty basic items. Not great quality. They're not really rare or anything like that, but it's just something that could come in very good situation. So I could see here for winter vehicle prep, they have coffee, they have some glow sticks, they have some chocolate, some heat packs, and a tactical mole stocking for all of your Christmas tactical needs.
The tactical stocking looks hilarious, but I guess they're giving you coffee and some chocolate, so you don't have to be like Chris and what's his face in The Sopranos?
Paulie
out there eating ketchup packets. You don't have to eat ketchup packets if you're stuck out overnight.
Yeah, why? I wonder why they would give chocolate, not like beef jerky or something.
Well, the package itself says survival tabs, but it's actually just 12 pieces of chocolate inside.
So that's because chocolate's the perfect food?
I guess so.
Maybe they want to keep you awake so you could hunt down some deer and make your own jerky.
Ooh, yeah, like don't give them a fish. Teach them how to fish.
Exactly. Well, because you have your survival tactical boot, your tactical sock, stocking, whatever that thing is. It looks funny. If you see the stocking, it's like, it doesn't look like a normal stocking. Let's put it that way. Has like, you know, spots for like your knives and flares and all sorts of crap in there.
This is really cool. This would be, you know, kind of like a more manly version, something like a loot crate or something.
Yeah, loot crate is something a lot of people are familiar with, and that has like t-shirts, posters, all sorts of toys and knickknacks inside of it. But this is for like adults who are going camping and making bacon and stuff like that.
Man, making
everybody
bacon.
Wants to make bacon, of course. This would be great, like if they had the you know, I could see some of these applying to skiing, like you have your shelter building or your camp comfort. I mean, if you're going bootpacking or you're going touring, you don't want to freeze your ass off and you don't want to like starve out there. So it's kind of like giving you some basic gear if you want to try to, you know, dabble in that. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and they tailor to a lot of different needs as well. Like you'll see here, I have a couple highlighted that I thought would be useful. So of course, the one I'm talking about right now is winter vehicle prep. They also have land navigation. And the most recent one, which they just came out with this month, November, is camping comfort and convenience. So of course, that's going to be for like newer campers who haven't really done it before or are just getting into it and want some of the basic gear you would have. So one of the things in here is like an inflatable sleeping pad or a camp fan with a light on it, stuff like that.
Nice. Now, the background to this too is James is he is one project away. He has all his badges from Eagle in Boy Scouts. So he's really kind of good at camping and does a lot of it. So I could see him eventually, if we get him to learn how to ski or board, actually being somebody we could go backcountry with.
He could protect us and help us get set up.
That's what I'm thinking. He could stop us from killing ourselves.
That's the person we need.
We need a handler. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, snow camping is something new to me. It's something I definitely want to try. Coldest I've ever been when camping was just under 30 degrees.
Let's just say nobody wants to get their avalanche badge, okay?
Yeah, is there anything for like, is there like a bear trap in one of these battle boxes?
Yeah, is there like a revenant box?
Like you mentioned that. I think there is actually. There is hunts to survive or something like that. And one of the things you can get with the second tier box, which is advanced, is a little game trap, which is basically like, it looks like a bear trap, except the only thing you're going to be catching in that is like rats or something like that, because it's very small.
Like a revenant box with like just a grenade, just one grenade in it.
But yeah, as I keep talking about this, another good thing about this is it's a great gift for people because the lowest box is very low cost. It's only $25, but the stuff in it is worth a lot more than that if you were to buy it individually. So I can see here for the winter prep one, the box itself is $25, but the stuff in it, if you were to buy it individually, would cost $63. And it gives the different values for the items and stuff. Like that tactical mole stocking is $16.
You know, the best part, though, of this is if I were to give this the camping comfort and convenience to, like, a girlfriend, I would get the crap beat out of me. Like, what the hell did you give me that for?
Unless you were dating a woman from Maine.
That's right. I mean, you got to know who you're giving it to. I mean, in New Jersey, men and women, nobody pumps their own gas. Like, if I give this to a girl, the winter prep, vehicle prep, she's like, I'm going to call you, jackass. What are you talking about?
Yeah, this is definitely not some for people in the city. Imagine, like, getting, like, a hoarder, getting these boxes.
Stockpile of the boxes. Just a
studio apartment with stocking caps and bear traps.
Bear traps. You're in like a fifth floor walk up and you got bear traps. What the hell are you doing with that?
Man, this is a heavy box you order. What's in it? Oh, I think that's my new chainsaw that I just ordered in the mail.
Yeah.
There should be a couple bear traps inside too.
Like seven knives in the Pro Plus box.
Oh yeah. So yeah, James was telling me that the Pro Plus, every time you get a box, they give you another knife.
Not necessarily. As I was saying before, they have different tiers of boxes depending on
top tier,
what quality gear you want or just how much you want. So like the basic box I listed off for the winter prep, but if you get the advanced box, that's the next tier up. So you get everything in the basic box, which is decent quality stuff. And then you get two additional items, which are a little higher quality and could be a little bit more useful. However, now it jacks up the price. So now the advanced box is $50. But that comes with all of the previous stuff, as well as Go Traction ties for snow or mud to put on your wheels, as well as a Rothco Mechanics tool bag.
Dude, the traction things are probably worth the $50 alone, as we've seen in Mount Snow, right, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody getting stuck on the hill going up to the house.
And then the next tier up is the Pro Box, which is $100. But the stuff in here is worth just over $300, so that's definitely bang for your buck right there.
I mean, concealed carry holster. Everybody needs one of those.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
You don't have to go buy one. You have one in your box, right?
I like it.
And this one in particular comes with a Tundra fire extinguisher, which actually looks like a sunscreen can from the looks of it, except it has fire extinguisher in it.
The best part of that is, what are you putting on fire? Like, that you got to put out the fire. Like, you're in the winter. You're going to be cold. Like, you've lit a lot of stuff on fire at that point.
It's possible you're burning a hobo to stay warm. You got to get rid of the evidence.
They burn very well. Just saying. They're dried out usually a little, you know.
Covered in malt liquor, they burn extremely well, allegedly. So I've heard.
It just went up like a pile of tinder.
Well, I mean, the pro box for the fire box literally just gives you like a beef jerky bag full of tinder. So
awesome.
It looks like a Slim Jim too is included in there. You need to break into someone's car.
You get Randy Macho Man Savage jump in there.
So as I was saying, so the pro box comes with fire extinguisher, and it also comes with a recovery strap, which it says here is weighed up for approximately 20 kilograms.
Who are you choking out with that thing? That's what I want to know. Why do you have that in the box? What are you using that for?
And then also here is a set of booster cables, which fit in a nice little bag that you can carry with you as well. And then, of course, after that, you get to the final tier, which is $150, and that's Pro Plus. Otherwise, they like to call it here on the site as the knife of the month.
Nice. That's highfalutin right there.
That's the way you do it. You either get a Hyundai Elantra or the Pro Plus Battle Box.
Boom. Yeah. I'm Pro Plus in that thing. Supersize me. Give me two of them. So you get a knife with that. So if you get the Pro Plus in every box, you get a knife every month.
Yeah, there you go. You get a knife, you get the recovery strap so you can take out the hobo, and then when the police come, you get the fire extinguisher. So it's all the whole package right there.
That's right.
It's pretty much an entire movie plot and conclusion all there. I like it.
Pretty much.
A movie plot and a lot of bad decisions.
Was that movie Very Bad Things?
Yes.
That movie where they're in Vegas and they like kill the hooker and they got to get rid of the body and they all end up like paraplegics for some. I forget what happened, but it was.
They should have ordered Battle Box.
They should have. All their problems.
They could have like a special box for that with lie in there and a shovel. It'd be great. They put it all together. The Tony Soprano box. Boom.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be a great thing. Like the Soprano box.
Yeah. I got to write to them. I think we have some ideas for them.
The Soprano box could have like coupons for the Bada Bing.
Oh, yes.
Landau roof for like a Cadillac.
The bag of lie, the shovel.
The hairpiece that, what the hell was his name? Ralphie had?
Oh, a picture of Pio Mai.
Pio Mai.
Painting of Pio Mai.
I mean, there is one here, which is October 2016, the Shelter Building and Tinder Collection. And if you buy the full thing, the Pro Plus, you end up getting like four or five knives with it. So,
damn. That's like you ever see the knife collecting guys on TV, like the late night. It's like a QVC for knives. They're like, you get 100 knives in this set. I'm like, why do you need 100 knives? Don't you need like one at a time? Like, I don't know what's going on here.
It's like, I cut
need
myself
a different one for every camping trip.
You know, like save it and like just hang it up after done with using it one time.
Yeah. I mean, if they're throwing knives, I can understand having 100 because you're going to just chuck them. That's one thing, but 100 dying, nice.
Yeah. But the great thing about these, which I want to point out here, is the Pro Plus box for Winter Vehicle Emergency Kit is $150. The knife that comes with it, if you get Pro Plus, is itself worth $127. So that's almost paying for the whole thing right there, plus all of the previous gear that came along with it. So for $150, you're getting over $400 worth of gear. So as I said before, you know, you can go for the basic box, and it's a great gift for somebody if they're getting started in that kind of area. But if you're just looking for really useful gear, which is nice quality, then it's a good way to go because you're saving a ton of money on everything.
No, you're losing money if you don't do it.
Now, James, you're not affiliated with this website in any way, are you?
I am not in any way affiliated with BattleBox.com.
All right, just checking. Very passionate about it. No E in the BattleBox.
Think yeah, be a Wii box.
This is definitely a really good gift idea. Box. If you need something for the man who has everything, this is probably a good place to start. So BattleBox.com.
Like it.
Very good stuff. Yeah, thanks for bringing this up to us, James. This is really cool.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. This is good stuff. I almost thought it was battle bots for a minute. I was like, oh, we got robots fighting. But yeah, it was just camping stuff. But yeah, it's really cool camping stuff. I like it.
All right.
It could bridge the gap for backcountry. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, definitely. So next up, we got a couple of ski-related items. And the first one is the Ortovox Pordoi, which is a jacket. And what's cool about it is it uses a Tasmanian wool liner. And
the devil?
What's that? Tasmanian devil wool. Yes. Yeah. So you know it's good.
They shave that Tasmanian devil. Little bald, skinny devil running around.
And wool is one of those things that you kind of take for granted. You think of, like, you know, terrible wool sweaters back in the day. They're itchy. They're uncomfortable. But this type of Tasmanian wool, it actually expands and shrinks based on your temperature needs.
Nice.
Which is really, really cool. So I guess – I don't know if that's an Ortovox thing or if it's an actual Tasmanian wool feature. But I know, like, when you get, like, the good wool socks, you know, you get sweated up, but you don't get cold.
Yeah, the smart wools are great, right?
Yeah, because if you have cotton or even some other synthetic fiber, a lot of times you get really sweaty and then you get cold, which is – that's what always leads to hypothermia. So when you have a really good wool product, especially for a base layer, you're much less likely to get into trouble that way. So this is a really cool jacket, and it was one of the SIA, the snow – what does it stand for? Snow Industry Association, I think. They're
Yes.
The meetings, I think, twice a year, and this one was one of their showstoppers at the previous one back in Denver.
Showstopper.
Very cool jacket. So if you're in the need for a jacket, this one's worth checking out. Ortovox Pordoi.
I like the tech. Love the tech on it.
Yeah, it looks very like futuristic, but classy.
Lesser known fact, Tasmanian devil fur is imbued with anti-cold properties.
Oh, it could be Tasmanian devil.
Uh-huh. It's gotta be.
If it was Tasmanian devil, I am gonna buy one right now.
Who wouldn't buy that?
Wouldn't buy it. That's a good selling point. Man, I gotta really check it out now. If it's Tasmanian devil, whoa. we got something now. All right, next we got Flylo Shreggings. Now they call them Shreggings because they are leggings that you could shred in. So, Flylo came up with is they're a legit legging with, you know, a little bit of extra warmth properties in it. And you can wear them as a base layer, but you can also wear them as like yoga pants and just, you know, going out with a nice sweater or something like that. So for the ladies, I'm sure this would be very, very nice to see you guys wear. Let's put it that way. I guess like Lululemons for skiing. So looks pretty cool.
Yeah, those are pretty groovy, and I'm sure they're going to have, like, a bunch of different styles and, you know, colors just so they can accessorize them to match your outfit and look fabulous on the slopes and off.
Exactly. Go skiing, and then go to après-ski just with your leggings on.
It's the way to do it.
Shreggy. All right.
And then we have one more product. And I think this was I think, Mario, you found this one. The Ortovox Rockin' Wool.
Yeah, for some reason I was stuck on Ortovox this week, but
this looks like is this a onesie? Like a one piece?
This is a onesie.
A one piece base layer.
It's awesome.
Yeah, and again, now they're actually uniting Swiss wool and Tasmanian merino wool. Is that even like what kind of savage would do something like that?
How do they do that? Do they have to put them in a room together? Like what do they do?
I don't know. Some sort of weird sheep Tasmanian devil seance ritual that, you know, I don't even want to think about right now, but somehow it leads to apparently combining them, you get the most athletic sheep on the mountain, according to this description here.
Nice.
Kind of makes sense.
It totally makes sense. All right. They actually have a website for Tasmanian wool. It's not Tasmanian Devils, or maybe it is. I don't know.
Tasmanian wool. So I'm guessing it's from Australia then?
Yes. It's like, you know, the sheep that doesn't want to get sheared and they get to be gigantic. It's like those sheep.
Is it some kind of like badass sheep they have?
Badass sheep. Exactly.
Well, I've talked to a lot of Australians and none of them will deny that everything in that country has been bred from through generations to kill everything. So I'm just worried at what kind of disturbing kind of sheep they have over there.
Alpha sheep. They're like alpha sheep. Don't come near me because I will.
They probably got like big antlers and teeth and stuff. Something really, really nasty.
The unkillable sheep.
The unkillables. That's awesome.
Yeah. Some sort of like undead sheep. Yeah, zombie pretty sheep. Sweet stuff. Yeah, I guess that's Ordovox's thing is their, you know, the Tasmanian wool. But they have a whole bunch, they have a couple different sections about their wools. Merino wool, Swiss wool, and Merino cool.
Speaking of Ordovox, we got to get our breakout our Ordovox beacons, start playing with those things.
I don't think they're Ordovox.
I thought mine was.
It's Mammut, isn't it?
No. Oh, are they? I don't know. See, this is bad. We don't even know that.
Yeah, we're definitely.
I'm looking up right now. What did I buy?
I think you might be right. We're in deep trouble already.
We're already in deep trouble. We're not in deep trouble yet. We got. There's hope.
We're identifying that we're in trouble, which is a good thing.
He's our handler. We're good.
He knows what he's doing.
Because he's done this before. He's done this many times. Yeah. Just follow him.
I thought it was Mammut.
I think you might be right. It is the Mammut.
Yeah.
It is. I'm looking at my full order history. Come on, where is it? It is the Mammut.
All right.
You're correct, sir. We got all gear.
We definitely got to start probing before we go on a trip.
Whoa.
Hey-o.
It's perverse.
Probing and transceiving.
And transceiving. Yeah, we got to break those out.
So, yeah, right now, so it's still there's some good Black Friday ski deals to be had this week. So if you're still looking to get some gear before the season starts, check your emails and hit up your favorite sites. I know REI, Backcountry, Evo, they've all been having plenty of sales going on this week.
Yeah, a lot of sales are what? So Friday is, of course, the mad rush in the retail stores, but everybody does Cyber Monday. So if you didn't get it in the retail, you get a good deal. Look at cyber, you know, look at stuff online, but then definitely hit up the internet for like Monday. Cause I guess if, you know, depending on, you know, what they sell or don't sell, they start throwing stuff out on Monday online, which is pretty cool.
No doubt. And I know certain stores too, also do like friends and family right before Christmas as well. So yeah. You probably get some good deals that way too. If you keep your eyes open and subscribe to your favorite store and brand's emails, you might be in luck and get a good deal before the season starts.
And we're having a Black Friday special. Our podcast is free, so please download it as much as you can. So
yes, you can go to cbumpodcast.com to get all the information from that. We will be joining REI in not working on Friday. So we will not be podcasting.
In solidarity.
In solidarity, yes. Sticking it to the man.
Sticking it to the man. We're part of the co-op movement.
That's what we do, man.
Cool.
So, yes, for more information, please check us out, skibumpodcast.com. Send us an email, skibumpodcast@gmail.com. Social media, hit us up, facebook.com/skibumpodcast, instagram.com/skibumpodcast, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, and find us on Pinterest under Highfalutins.
Matt,
it is time for Under the Ropes.
Boom. So
we've had a lot of cannabis-related news in the recent few weeks, and that isn't stopping now. So we're going to have a segment within the segment called From the Gondola. So first up, Texas. Yes, the Republic of Texas. Legislators are filing bills aimed at decriminalizing marijuana. So after the big elections that happened a couple weeks ago, you know, it started to get other states to start thinking about, you know, why they're doing what they're doing regarding cannabis laws. And on the Monday, the week after the election, in Texas, they filed a legislative action in the legislative session to propose decriminalizing small amounts of marijuana. Among the bills that were created by the specialty court, that certain first-time marijuana possession offenders would have reduced penalties up to an ounce or less.
Nice. Now,
for Texas, that's huge because they've always been kind of the good old boy, Christian, conservative state. So when you see places like that starting to break down their rulings and opening their minds to this, it's pretty much done. You know, it's a done deal at this point. It's great to see that. So.
Well, the other thing too, I think a lot of people really realizing that they're not going to be able to like control people coming into their state from other states. Mm-hmm. And you know, now do you really want to police that, or do you want to just kind of just write fines? Because everybody just wants the fine, especially if it's not something that you're going to throw somebody into prison for, you know?
Yeah. There was actually another article. I don't have it listed on here, but it was talking about neighboring states to Colorado, particularly Kansas. The police were claiming that they've had so many more marijuana arrests since the Colorado legalized. The problem was they couldn't find any evidence of it. they were saying that. But then it turned out that a lot of the police was like, you know, when they were interviewing them, they were saying that we're not here to just, you know, pick on just and everybody and just, you know, search them and bust them for weed. That's not what we're supposed to be doing here. It's not really the making society safer for people just getting some, you know, some painkillers from Colorado.
Right.
You know, so it's
well, look at Utah, right? Utah is squished between Colorado and Nevada. Nevada just legalized, mm-hmm. and they have gambling and prostitution and everything. Colorado legalized. Utah's right in the middle. Now, I know they're Mormon, very strict, whatever kind of thing, but they're going to get squished. You're going to have people going between the two, you know, right through Utah just with all that stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, they're in a pretty interesting spot. But, you know, it's the writing is on the wall, it seems like, at this point. People are, you know, They're kind of getting wind about the real information now. That's the one of the most beautiful things about the internet is that if you do want to find out more information on a topic, if you want to do research, you can find sources now. You can get the truth and do your own research and not just, you know, take what's kind of browbeaten into your head from a young age that ends up being, you find out later in life that it was just lies and rubbish.
Well, the media too. Everybody's realized with this last election how crappy the media has been at covering actual facts.
Yeah. Yeah. Why? You should never really take anything at face value anymore. You really need to do your own research. And now you have the tools to do it, which is great.
They throw out bad numbers. They throw out, like, you know, biased everything. It's crazy.
Well, look at Facebook too, all their fake stories that they're getting in trouble for now.
Oh, yeah.
And they're saying that Facebook in China now is able to actually block stories. Like, the government's allowed to choose which stories they can block.
Well, that's China too.
Yeah. But that's, we don't want to become China. That's, we're using them as an example of what not to do.
We're getting closer though, right?
How dare you? At least we have General Tso's chicken. They don't even have that.
That's right. Because
that's
it's
an American thing.
It's American. It's American.
It's actually Taiwanese. Technically.
Is it?
Yeah.
Damn.
There's a whole documentary on Netflix,
so that Netflix
about General Tso.
Yeah, I started watching it and then I was like, I watched like half of it and I was like, that's pretty interesting.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's worth checking out. Especially if you're in Colorado and just went to a local dispensary and bought a large amount of some sort of indica or a couple of edibles, then it's a fascinating documentary.
You're like, it is fascinating right now.
General Tso was a man, but he's also chicken.
He's a chicken man.
He's a chicken man.
Chicken Man, General Tso. All right, next up we have Vermont lawmakers are going to push to legalize pot against the governor-elect Scott's urging. So two lawmakers say they're going to plan to resume the push to legalize cannabis in Vermont. Governor-elect Phil Scott is urging them not to waste their time on the measure, but a lot of people are backing it. So now it looks like lawmakers are going to get ready to move ahead with legalization bill in 2017. But they're saying the incoming Republican governor might hold them back. So it's going to be a fight that's brewing. So we're going to see it's going to be state Senate versus the governor, which is usually an interesting fight in a state. Adds to a lot of good bad press. So.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Because, yeah, they were trying to pass it this year. And I think now that the Northeast has seen that Maine and Massachusetts have passed it, and we're going to start to, you know, once they get things rolling by 2018 and they see the numbers they're going to pull in terms of revenue, I think a lot of the other states are starting to get a little scared about the revenues that they'll be losing out on by not going ahead and legalizing it. So a lot of these states are, you know, they're all hurting for money. So they're going to do what they're going to have to do to make that up somehow.
Yeah.
Next up, we have, I found this on a homegrown.com and it was pretty interesting. And it talked about what is in a name and why you should be calling it cannabis and not weed or pot or marijuana. Because it almost, those terms have a negative connotation where cannabis is its actual, you know, proper name. And one of the reasons it mentions it is because the term marijuana was intentionally used by William Randolph Hearst and Henry Anslinger as part of the Reefer Madness era propaganda. And the name was specifically chosen to emphasize the plant's association with Mexican immigrants and play up its scary foreign identity.
Wow.
I mean, it's on their end, it was really very smart marketing. That's all it really was a marketing campaign. It's like when they tried calling high fructose corn syrup corn sugar, you know, you put a fancy name on something and it's supposed to have a different connotation. Back then in the 30s and 40s, people, you know, didn't have access to all this information that we have now, and they just took it for what it was. Oh, the news says it, so it must be true. But when the people creating the news have a financial interest in making sure something stays illegal, then they're going to do whatever they have to do to protect their financial outcome. So
yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Kind of interesting, but I thought that was kind of cool. So yeah, you know what, if you do care about it and you want it to be treated as more of a something that's not just a something to get high, but is actually a real pain reliever and a real, you know, asset to a lot of people in this country, call it cannabis, and it gives it more of a distinguished kind of title than weed or pot or even marijuana.
Well, think of it this way. When you go into a restaurant and they have steak tartare, or they have on the menu raw chopped meat, which you're going to take, you're going to think steak tartare is, oh, that's something fancy, and it's raw chopped meat.
Yeah.
You know, with a bunch of other stuff that they put on top of it, but, you know, still raw meat.
Yep. The name does matter.
Exactly. All right, and you got the next one.
All right, we got one more here in the from the gondola. So now that
almost at the top of the mountain, we're almost out of the top.
So now that cannabis is legal in eight states, you know, some of the issues that these dispensaries have been having is that the banking system is not allowing them to have bank accounts. So these businesses have been operating mostly in cash, which has, you know, obviously a tough way to do business these days, because you have to, you know, make a lot of big orders, and how do you, you know, move the cash around easily. So a bunch of these companies have been starting to use Bitcoin as an alternative to regular banking and credit cards. So it's been interesting. It's not a perfect solution yet, but they've found ways to work with some local Bitcoin vendors like Local Bitcoins and Paxville to turn their cash into Bitcoin. So that way they don't have to walk around and be carrying thousands of dollars of cash and, you know, keeping it in safes and hiding it and, you know, worrying about transportation and robbery.
They used to do it like narcos with like bags and suitcases full of cash. It's crazy.
Yeah, just burying it in the woods and trying to remember where it was.
Yeah, that Vice did a story on that. That was pretty amazing to see the guys with, you know, machine guns and like, you know, protecting the convoy of people going down. It was nuts.
Yeah, that was amazing too. How much they were talking about how many millions of dollars they had to bury because there was nothing else they could do with it. They had nowhere else to put it.
It really is like Pablo Escobar.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, so they're starting to use, you know, different services like Wirex and Zappo and BitPay, which are different Bitcoin wallets to use their to move their cash into and to move it into Bitcoin instead of the banks, because, you know, everything is still very kind of sketchy with the banking system. So,
well, it's funny, the banks at first I think were kind of stepping back saying, yeah, we don't really want to fight for you because we don't really care. Mm-hmm. And now they're looking at the amount of money that's going into, you know, cryptocurrency, which they don't want to flourish. And now they're having to get on with cryptocurrency and it's cutting into their profits. But they realize like, oh, because we didn't get into this before, we're kind of screwing ourselves. So they're all jumping into it now.
Yeah. And one of the crazy things you're seeing now too is, I mean, you know, Bitcoin has become kind of, they call it digital gold, you know, because it's decentralized. It's, you know,
it's the standard right now. Yeah.
Well, you're seeing right now in a bunch of countries around the world, you know, China keeps devaluing the yuan, and India last week just decided to get rid of their 500 and 1,000 rupee bills. They're no longer legal.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody at work about that. That's crazy.
Could you imagine if our government was just like, oh, you know, the 100 and the 50? Yeah, you can't use them anymore. Like the amount of panic that would cause?
Yeah. Can you imagine if you had hundreds in this country and they said, yeah, they're not good anymore. We didn't give you any chance to turn them in, but they're not good.
Yeah, they said it was like $25 billion worth of currency was just null and void in India.
That wouldn't affect me because I have all small bills, so I'm good. But I'm just saying, it would piss off a lot of people.
But there, and then I think Nigeria too is having some sort of currency crisis. I was reading an article today. They're saying that the a Bitcoin in Nigeria is going for almost $1,200 now. It's like $500 or $600 above what the regular rate is, just because people need to get out of their local currency and need to get into something that they feel is going to be more reliable. So people are turning towards Bitcoin. It's crazy.
That is nuts.
People are losing faith in the centralized banking and governments. So, you know, they're finding other alternatives that they feel will be safer and more effective for them.
So I'm telling you, I read a book called Currency Wars, and it talks about the Third World War being fought with finance. Basically, mm-hmm. what are the doomsday options and scenarios that countries will fight against each other. And it's actually, if you look at what's happening, it actually does play out where countries will screw around with each other just by changing the value of the currency, either devaluing it so they can push their products in their economy or overvaluing it. And it messes with other countries. It's pretty funny.
Well, that's what our current president was saying during the campaign, on the campaign trail, saying how he's going to renegotiate all of our deals with China.
So yeah.
I don't know what that's going to mean, but it should be interesting to find out. That's
yeah, it's going to be interesting. Let's put it that way.
We're not paying you because you're losers.
So does that mean, I can't even say it. It's so bad.
Say it.
No, I can't even. It's just bad. Oh, boy. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. So does that mean I get egg rolls with every order?
Oh,
see,
you had to go there.
I didn't want to say it. You coaxed me to say it.
We kept it light with a General So, kept it fun, and then you had to go there.
And I had on my mind General So. I'm hungry now. I'm hungry. Like, it's been 2 hours. I'm hungry again.
I'm actually really hungry too now. I think there's a few places that still deliver.
See? Free egg rolls because of Donald Trump.
So good. So bad.
Yes, I right. have. Can I have my Trump rolls? I'm just Trump. Saying.
Oh, Trump sauce. It's like orange. That makes you duck sauce could be not Trump sauce.
It's the most fabulous. It's the most fabulous, luxurious sauce you could ever put on an egg roll.
Trump sauce.
Heffalutin Ski Bums is going to have to cater to a larger audience now. you know, oh yeah, I'm here with my Boston Lager and my new egg roll that I just got this morning.
I think so. We're branching out.
We Trump roll. Trump roll. Trump. You got trumped. Instead of you got iced, you got trumped. All right. Anyway.
All right. So we're getting out of the gondola and getting back to under the ropes news.
All right. Under the ropes. There's a little man that is breaking records. This man named John Young is breaking barriers in the triathlon world. So he was the first person with dwarfism to finish a full distance Ironman, which I salute him. That's pretty baller as hell. And to do it with, you know, a disadvantage that he has, it is amazing. Basically, he's doing twice what everybody does with the scale that he has to work with. So Ironman usually starts with a 2.4-mile swim, goes into a 112-mile bike ride, and then eases into a 26.2-mile run. So there's no easy.
I don't want to be the dick. What kind of bike did he use?
Oh no! You can meme it, but you'll get a lot of hate mail after. Let's put it that way.
I just want to see what his bike looked like.
Oh, there's a whole video on it. Look at CNN has a video. Okay. And they do a story on him. It's a really great story on, you know, background. And it was done before he did the triathlon, which was in Cambridge, Maryland, that he just did it. And it was pretty cool. In the background story, they talk about, like, his hashtag is Be the Hammer, hashtag Be the Hammer. And he said it was, you know, from his son that told him, you know, he didn't do a marathon. He couldn't complete a marathon for, you know, he got sick. And his son said to him, he's like, well, sometimes you're the nail, sometimes you're the hammer. So that day he was the nail, so he tries to be the hammer all the time. So it was pretty cool motivation. And he said he was in a pretty bad space. He was overweight. He was, you know, out of shape. And he decided to start running and get into shape. And then he got into, you know, he tried to do a sprint, which is a small triathlon. And he said right there he got hooked. And it was great. He did Boston Marathon. He did, you know, a lot of other marathons and you know, trained like an animal. And he said it's just one of those things where he wanted to do the Ironman to say, you know, to other people that, you know, people with his disability, they couldn't do it. And he kind of put them all to rest with that, which was pretty amazing.
That is badass. Yeah, it was saying that, I guess in 06, he was 195 pounds. And, you know, for being 4'4", that's some serious weight.
4'4", 190 was 8 pounds. I mean, that's like a bowling ball size. I mean, that's a weight. Yeah, that's a problem.
That's super unhealthy, yeah.
Yeah, and just to be able to do that now, like, you know, do the Ironman, that's amazing.
That's so cool.
To be able to do Boston Marathon, are you kidding me? You got to qualify. That's crazy stuff.
Yeah, Boston's in New York a few times.
Now, they said because of his proportions, because of his size, his bike is a lot smaller. So instead of having, I guess, 25, 26-inch wheels, he has 20-inch wheels. So it takes him a lot more
revolution. More work, yeah.
Yeah, so it's almost like close to an ultra marathon, an ultra bike, you know, event for him, which is pretty amazing.
That is badass.
But he has some success secrets that he follows. So he says, I just pulled out three little rules. Don't measure yourself against someone else. Worry about what you can control. And don't listen to naysayers, even if that naysayer is you. So kudos to him. Love that guy.
That is awesome. John Young, congratulations. Very inspiring. All right. So next up, so we got a new weather satellite that's going up into space, which is pretty awesome because, you know, we're always concerned as, you know, as skiers, we're always concerned about, you know, what's the snowfall going to be like? What sort of, you know, are we going to have enough cold? You know, the last couple of years have been a bit trying and, you know, the talks of global warming and, you know, it's makes it tougher for us to, you know, we're being a bit selfish, but to plan our trips and to, you know, to see how things will form in our, you know, local ski areas.
They better have a snow weather machine on that goddamn thing because I'm going to be mad if they don't.
Block some of the, you know, maybe the satellite has like one of those silver foil dashboard windshield blockers.
Well, it's in space. It has to be silver to begin with, right? Everything in space or the future is silver. It's like metallic.
Yeah, of course. What else could it be?
Yeah, like tinfoil, you know, suits and all metallic. They got to have a ray, like a cold snow ray that's got to be on there.
I'm in. So the satellite is called the GOES-R, the GOES-R, and it will see hurricanes and blizzards with high resolution, more so than any other U.S. satellite of its kind. And the scans will take less time and be transmitted faster. Severe storms will be more predictable through breakthrough lightning mapping. Yeah, it's the first of a new series of U.S. satellites that are going to be sent into orbit.
Is it better than Weather 12's
Doppler 6000?
Doppler 6000.
Way better than Doppler 6000.
All I saw for like a month was freaking commercials on this Doppler 6000. It's better be the second coming of the Doppler radar thing. And now I see a satellite gets into space, which is going to blow away the Doppler 6000. I don't know. Is there going to be commercial for this? I want to see the GOES-R.
You know, it's good when it doesn't sound like a weather satellite anymore, but more like some sort of supervillain weapon from the 80s.
That's right.
The Doppler 6000 EGAD.
I want $1 million.
It's almost like, yeah, it's like the bad robot from RoboCop.
That's right. I'm going to hold the GOES-R at bay for $1 billion. See, Dr. Evil would take over the GOES-R, but he's not taking over Doppler 6000. He's like, yeah, whatever. It's just the metro area. Who cares about that?
So yeah, I guess the big thing is yeah, it's going to have, you know, advanced notice for blizzards and hurricanes. So for us, that's a really good thing. It's like, oh, there's going to be a crippling blizzard coming to Jackson Hole in 4 days. So that gives us time to buy a ticket and fly out there and be ready for the snow.
Boom. I think they should call it a snow hurricane. Snowcane.
Snowcane. What were they calling it? Snowpocalypse a couple years ago, or
they're naming blizzards now, I think.
Yeah. They just
they're just
bored. I think the weather people are just bored.
Well, because they know they jumped the shark when they had like Frankenstorm and it's like exploding snow. I mean, you know, what else are you gonna call it? Once you get up to that, it's like you can't call it. Nobody's gonna put on the TV like it's not exploding snow. I don't care.
Oh, wasn't there Snowmageddon?
Snowmageddon, yeah. We went through Snowmageddon. Who's gonna care if you call it, Storm Daniel? People are like, whatever. It's not Snowmageddon.
I mean, what else is coming? It's like, what does that even mean?
Snow Hitler.
Snow Hitler. Snow Hitler's coming.
They got to have them all. They have Goering.
Genghis Snow.
Genghis Snow.
He's coming on horses.
I
don't know.
I would imagine they're going to do that before. And then they start to name him. I'm like, oh, it's going to be, you know, Snow Blizzard Tristan. That sounds too nice.
What else are you going to do for fun at the Weather Channel? You don't, like, have office wars with Nerf guns or pull pranks on each other. No, you name snowstorms.
Hurricane Gladys is coming. Snow Hurricane Gladys.
I just looked up Doppler radar. It's radar. It's not from space. It's nothing. Yeah. You got nothing on it, Doppler 6000.
Yeah.
They should really give cooler names to the more powerful ones, too. Like, we had Sandy a couple of years ago now, which was terrible. But, I mean, it honestly didn't sound very frightening at first when the first thing I thought of was a cute little squirrel from a cartoon.
That's right.
Yeah, they should all be named after, like, Stallone characters.
Like, Predator, that's what it should be.
They should pick an action star, and every year it's like, oh, this is all the Schwarzenegger hurricanes this year.
The Schwarzenegger hurricanes.
Like 2018 is all Schwarzenegger hurricanes.
Terminator.
2019 Lucifer. Is all Stallone.
Lucifer hurricane. You know, people will take note to say, yes, I'm going to evacuate. Lucifer's coming.
Right? You
know, Predator's coming. I'm getting out of here.
Detective John Kimble.
So you have Hurricane Alvin. People are like, I'm going to hang out. This is like a chipmunk.
Yep. Not scary.
Doppler 6000. You got nothing on this thing.
GOES-R. It's going to be in orbit. It's going to be...
Yeah, Hurricane Brady. Screw Brady.
deflated storms coming
that,
through.
That storm would deflate very quickly.
Yep.
So if anybody doesn't know this, I'll tell you now. I'm a Jet fan, and my brother-in-law, cool guy, and James, I don't think you've been poisoned yet. But my brother-in-law is a big Patriots fan, so he likes to play the balls. I like teams that don't win, so you know that's how it works.
They had a solid week this past weekend.
The Jets did really well this week.
Yeah.
That bye week, they killed it, man. They killed it.
Flawless. Flawless effort.
Flawless, exactly. Perfect game. Perfect game plan.
Amazing execution.
Actually, no, they did mess up. I think Fitzgerald's is in charge. And if the Jets are winning, if Jets are listening, Woody, if you're listening to me right now, and I'm not talking, I'm talking Woody Harrelson, actually. I'm just saying you shouldn't put Fitzpatrick in.
Terrible.
Terrible. Terrible. Okay. Ooh, that went to Doppler 6000. I don't know.
Yeah, right?
It's all Gozar. I want to hear Gozer. Gozer the Gozerian. This is a little Ghostbusters. Gozer.
Yeah.
Just hit me. Wow. Stay Puff Marshmallow Man coming through town soon.
Yep. Are you the gatekeeper? I am the keymaster. All right. Next up. Right.
Next we got the Norwegian secret to enjoying a long winter. Now, when they talk about enjoying a long winter, they talk about enjoying from November through, I believe it's March?
It's definitely into March, yeah.
Yeah. So there was a researcher that did a story that we have a link to. And, you know, they went up to Scandinavia. They went up to Norway, and they were up there. They did a study. So Carrie Leibowitz, so PhD student at Stanford University, August of 2014 through June 2015. So she spent a while there and noticed that, you know, a lot of people talk about the mental health problems, seasonal depression. There's a lot of cases of that because there's just no sunlight. And as human beings, we need a little bit of sun. And from what I think we need a lot of snow. So if there was no sun and no snow, that would be the worst. But at least they have plenty of snow. And some of the things they do to get over their depression is they say, you know, they learn from, you know, she learned from observing the communities. So what they do is they have strong social ties and they look forward to the time where, you know, the sun goes away and they, you know, they have to deal with this perpetual winter and darkness. So one of the things is changing your mindset. So you shift your mindset and basically you, you know, they go out cross-country skiing. They might, you know, catch up with friends. They do a lot of stuff that's very communal, very cozy. They hang out inside. So it's kind of a nice thing to think about. But one of the other big things they do, embrace skiing or boarding or just getting out. And when they say skiing, they're probably talking about cross-country skiing because that's how they get around a lot of places out there. And they do that for a lot of exercise. But they say it's very, very communal, very close-knit, very cozy, and very winter outdoor related.
Yeah, I like the one quote in there. It says there's a saying that there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is true. If you wear the right gear, you can handle any situation.
You gotta dress right.
Yep.
See, it's like when it gets too hot, you can't take any more clothing off at some point.
Yep.
In the cold, you could always put more clothing on. Just put the right clothing on.
Start moving around. That'll warm you right up.
That's right. And get a little cozy.
I don't think it mentioned it in here, but Norwegians also do drink a lot, which helps them cope with the winter. I know this for a fact. We have some I know some Norwegians, and yes, they hit the bottle very, very hard, which is good and or bad.
Well, that's the cozy part, right?
I guess so.
Everybody's spotting each other, because if you fall, you pass out outside, somebody's freezing to death.
Yep. You get that.
Where'd Jordan go? Oh, he's froze. Who's watching him? That's the first. That's the next question, right?
It's the buddy system.
Who's watching him? He's your buddy today. Because you know tomorrow, you let your buddy right. down.
So I guess
he's letting you down.
By letting you down, he's letting the whole village down.
Exactly.
Everyone's got a vested interest. That's the way you got to do it.
That's right.
Stay positive, embrace your condition, and you'll get through it and be happy.
And it's the mindset. You got to change your mindset. Everybody automatically thinks, oh my God, it's getting colder out and darker out. I hear it all the time. And a naked kid. You know what? That's because you crab about it all the time. You don't dress right, and you don't do anything in the winter. You gotta enjoy yourself.
That's true.
You know, embrace. It's like getting down to 60 degrees down here in Tampa, and people are freaking out. I'm like, you got to get out and enjoy yourself. It's kind of a nice time of year.
Yeah, people are funny. Like, I mean, it was probably like 40 degrees here today, and people are like, oh my God, it's freezing. It's so cold. It's like, no, it's just scratching the surface right now. Wait till it's 5 degrees again, like it was last year. That's cold.
I love it too, because I love hearing all the complaints. Oh my God, it's so cold. And I'm sitting there shivering. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty cold for me, but I'm not going to say a thing. I want to just grin and bear it because I love the snow.
You know what's funny? Other people complaining about being cold warms me up. I just take that as fuel.
Right from your little Grinch heart, right? Just warms up.
That's pretty much what I've discovered. Part of the reason I love winter is that because people are miserable and they're stuck inside.
Yeah, they are.
It's not a positive thing about me and my personality, but I've come to realize that and I'm embracing it.
I hear it. James, you sit inside when it's like below 60, right?
Oh, yeah. You know how it is. People outside, they're wearing the coats that make it so your arms can't move anywhere but 90 degrees to your body, and it's only like 50 degrees outside.
It's amazing. Florida is a wonder. Well, I guess you get used to the warm, but I come down here, I'm like walking out. I'm like, it's almost it's like borderline shorts right now. And everybody's like, you got to get a jacket. My mom's like running around, you got to get a jacket. Put a jacket on. I'm like, no. I'm going to die. Oh, I'm sleeping in a house right now. It's like a sweat lodge. It's like 79 degrees in that house.
Oof.
Yeah, I came home last night. The heat starts blowing on. I'm like, nah, you're really messing with me now. Is this a joke? Because, yeah, the heat was on 79.
Oh, and God.
And then I asked her, I'm like, what? I heard the heat going. She's like, oh, yeah, I put the heat on because I just took a shower and I didn't want to blow dry my hair. I wanted my hair to dry. So I put the heat on in the house to make the entire house hotter so my hair wouldn't freeze.
That sounds like Florida logic to me.
That makes no sense at all.
Right now it's 38 degrees here and we have the window open.
Well, I want to walk outside in the winter. I'd rather make the entire planet a little hotter so I'm comfortable.
Well, I mean, the Floridians down here hate the cold, but the one or probably two things they love about the colder weather is, A, it's dry. Thank God.
Yeah, it is dry.
Because it's basically just swimming through your neighborhood when you go for a walk down the street during the summer. It's like you take one step outside and suddenly your whole body is just covered in sweat and all that.
Yeah, we don't do well with that.
Yeah. No. And second thing is all the mosquitoes go back to hell during the winter.
Oh,
we don't have to worry about them for another 6 months or so.
Die, mosquitoes, die, you dirty bastards. Brian loves the hot, sticky, humid weather. He embraces that.
Can't get enough of it.
After a hot day walking around the city, you run into Brian, he's like all sweaty and he's loving it. He's like such a smile on his face.
Got my little cut-off jean shorts on.
Brian's like, if I have to put like something radioactive on me, I will do it to stop sweating.
Love it. All right, so we got one more story left. Let's wrap this bad boy up. So this was a cool story on Engadget.com, and it's how your smartphone is going to be a master key to your everyday life. And what it talks about, you know, it starts talking about, smart home devices, like the Nest system for your lighting and temperature control. And another one is LifeX, LIFX. It's a competitor to Nest. But there's also services like Scout, which is a integrated wireless motion sensor. And another one called August, which is a smart lock on your door. and it's able to, it's got a built-in camera, so you're able to see through an app a look at who's at your front door.
Nice.
Yeah. Beyond that, they have Viper, which has always been known as a, you know, a car alarm system. They're starting to incorporate smart apps into their car alarms. So again, instead of having a little, you know, device on your keychain, you could use your phone to see, you know, to start up your car, or you know, you get your cooling or heat on before you get into it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So right now I have the Echo, the Amazon Echo.
Yeah.
And I have the smart plugs, the TP-Link smart plugs, and you can actually link them together and then use IFTT, if then, then that, to this, to your smart home. What it'll do is it'll recognize, you could set up things like if you come within a close proximity to your home, it could unlock your doors if you have smart door locks. It could turn on lights, like all this stuff, like open up your garage. So it's pretty neat. Like that's available, like if you can put some stuff together, but these seem like they're putting them in like a nice little package for you, which is pretty cool.
That is really cool. That's like the Tesla, the Model S, or I guess the X too. When you have the key fob, as soon as the door handles are flush on the door, but when you have the key and you walk up to the car, the door handle comes out automatically based on the proximity of you with the key.
Nice.
It's really cool. Yeah.
I mean, just even something stupid as like, you know, the keyless, I have a Nissan, they have the keyless, you know, start and door, you know, open, whatever, you just, you don't have to do anything, you just open the door. I got so used to it. Now I have a rental car this week and I'm like, oh, I got to take my stupid key out of my pocket. Like it just kills me. It's like you don't realize how you used to get to it and how useful it is. You're like, when I first got it, I thought that was a silly thing. I was like, oh, I got the key in my pocket. What's the big deal? Now it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
You're slumming it right now.
We're better than that.
You'll appreciate your car much more when you get home now.
All I know is the primates are winning right now because they would have everything figured out.
All right, a couple other things related to that in gadget story. There's a company called De La Rue, which is working on a digital passport prototype, which would allow you to use your smartphone and the information in there versus having a regular passport or visa or any sort of custom paperwork you need to enter a country. Have it right on your phone.
I don't know why they're just not fingerprinting everybody. Once you get a passport, it's pretty much the same thing.
They are fingerprinting us.
That's what I'm saying.
Everything your face, do.
Your yeah. face is a fingerprint. They facial recognize everybody anyway.
Yeah.
You should be able to walk right through the airport.
Right?
Yeah, that seems like a problem waiting to happen. I mean, someone can easily just, you know, go into the program and say, oh, you have citizenship in this country? Oh, go right ahead. No.
It sounds like a bad Black Mirror episode.
Yes, Black Mirror.
Which seems like a lot of things happening in our world lately.
Did you finish Black Mirror?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think it was awesome, right?
I'm afraid of life now. I'm afraid of all technology.
I'm afraid of all technology.
Yeah. The bees?
It's, oh, yeah. Oh, bees are great.
Terrifying.
I love those bees.
Yeah.
The killer bees. I get my smartphone and I put it in a lead box now every night.
Like Better Call Saul?
That's right.
You know, where your tinfoil suit?
I walk around and have to give everybody 5 ratings. So I up my ratings.
Oh, God.
That was funny and awesome, but terrifying at the same time.
Disturbing. Very disturbing. Because yeah, it really is very similar to how a lot of people do interact right now.
It's everything right now on Facebook. You go in, you have to like it. If you don't like it, like, they're not going to like your stuff back. It's like, right. Really? You didn't like me. I liked you. Why don't you like my thing? Yep. Well, maybe I don't look at Facebook every day. How about that?
How about that?
I unfriend you. Oh, your rating's going down. You don't have that many friends.
Oh, you can't get a rental car now.
Run away. Yeah, well,
your rental car is not going to be there tomorrow morning because you didn't rate people high enough.
We have the
rating you.
It was the apartment was a well-known person like bonus or whatever. It's like, what?
Oh yeah.
That was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, pretty terrifying.
So a couple more quick things with the smartphone. It's going to be used as a almost like a health diagnostic tool, which is really cool. So there'll be biometrics can use the phone to measure your pulse, your blood pressure, and other programs like Health Vault will compile patients' medical records and prescriptions from different sources all in one, you know, application, so that, you know, maybe you, you know, something happens to you, they can somehow look at it and be like, oh, this person is on this drug, we can't give them this drug, without having to, you know, contact a doctor or a nurse or find out that information, which, you know, if time is of the essence, the last thing you want to do is have to start reaching out to several people and hoping you can come up with the right formula before it's too late. So,
wow. You ever see that movie, The Island?
I don't think so, but I think you have mentioned it on the podcast before.
Yes. So it seems like we're getting close to, like, just a futuristic world like that where you just do stuff, like, because the machines say to do that stuff and you have no idea why you're doing it.
Oh, this is Michael Bay, right?
No. That was
he directed it. Ewan McGregor, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. He directed that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think if a lot of stuff blew up. A little bit.
Of course it did.
Yeah, there was some stuff. But yeah, it was kind of cool, futuristic, but it was like they just knew. They walked up, your blood pressure's up, here's an extra pill today. Like, just take it. You know, like, it was all automatic. It was pretty wild.
That's also creepy.
Yeah, one thing they've been considering for a while is doing similar to what they do with, like, dogs and other pets, is they have like the little chip they implant right behind your ear or something like that. So they're thinking about maybe doing that with people now. You know, you walk into a hospital, you're unconscious or something, they just scan you, boop, all your medical information's right there.
Yeah, that's definitely going to happen next. They always start with the dogs. Whatever they do to the dogs, we're always next.
I saw a story that people are so along with tattooing and piercing, people are actually putting a chip, a little pill under their, usually in their hand, and they can actually program it to have whatever you want on it. So some people are using it to program like credit card information or like scan information, so you can just scan into a building like with a smart card. It's pretty funny because people are doing these implants and they're like, oh, it's great, I have like technology in me, and they're like, yeah, but all of them are unsecure, so people can hack them. So
serious dedication to your job for doing that.
It's just really weird. So they say people are actually coming in and getting these little chip implants. Huh. Like a program. I'm like, wow, it's weird.
There was actually a story a couple of years ago about a dude who got a Bitcoin wallet embedded in his hand.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's smart right there.
Yeah. He had a chip embedded in his hand that he's able to access and, you know, purchase and sell Bitcoin with.
Awesome. Is it encrypted, though? That's the big question.
Oh, definitely. Nice. He's like the guy in Silicon Valley, the cyborg. The one coder.
Yes. Cyborg.
Fucking cyborg.
See, now in the next couple of years, we're just going to have people pretending to be Jedis. They walk over to the cashier and just wave their hands and all their stuff is paid for suddenly. That's, you know, right. Apple Pay and stuff like that.
That's quite possible.
So how do you know David Copperfield wasn't using this 5 years ago? That's why he's a magician. Just saying. He didn't really make the Statue of Liberty disappear. Just saying. All right. That was a good podcast.
Yeah. Cool.
Like it. Thanks, James.
Yeah. Thanks, James, for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me on here.
Of course. Always a pleasure having some good guests on. If you want to check out more information, check it out, skibumpodcast.com. All of our links will be there as well. Check us out on social media, facebook.com/skibumpodcast, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, instagram.com/skibumpodcast, and check us out on Pinterest as Highfalutins.
Stay high, stay falutin'.